in a world full of straight people. Aren't you glad there's WOW Presents Plus, the number one place in the world to see Drag Race? And so much more. Subscribe to WOW Presents Plus. Still only $4.99. Subscribe today as streamed on TV.
Start your engines and join me in the new mobile game, RuPaul's Drag Race Superstar. May the best superstar win. Available now.
Matt, sometimes world events happen, and we need expert commentary. We need perspective.
That's right.
The world has been chaos in the last week. There's only one person who can really properly talk us through two major news stories.
Right, because you're not going to get perspective from us, and listeners know that.
Well, one of these you might. Listen, it's just been a hell of a week. Let's just bring him in fittingly in a Vogue cap from what seems like the Rhythm Nation era. Pete Zayas.
Hello, everybody.
Welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
Now, I know you were just here, but we need your voice.
I'm here
on a couple of major issues. Let us first talk about Madonna at the Forum.
It was everything.
Okay.
It was everything. It was just, I went two nights.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually I had gone once before in Pittsburgh. I flew out to Pittsburgh to see her.
Just to see her?
Just to see her, because that's where I'm originally from. And so I took my father, because he'd never seen her, but he's the one that introduced me to Madonna. So I was like, you have to see this, because this is like, you know, her celebration of her whole career.
Yeah.
They're going to get the hits.
But I love that your dad was your entryway to Madonna. Like, what was his reaction? And like, what does he make of her, like, present day Madonna?
Well, he loved early Madonna because she was Italian and he's Italian and, you know, and she was young. But he always says, oh, she has so many, you know, hit songs. And so I was like, you have to go, you know, see this show. I mean, he was never as much into the later Madonna. He liked more like 80s Madonna.
Sure. Okay.
But he loved the concert.
Of course.
Great. Good father-son bonding over the celebration tour.
Yeah.
Classic father-son. You know, there's catching a baseball and there's going to see Madonna, you know, just the timeless traditions.
And we got like right on the floor, right in the middle of that middle runway. And so we were both never that close to Madonna. So like his mouth was open and I thought it was like a dream.
Yeah.
It, honestly, so I was there on the Monday of the Forum run. I was there on night
one. I was there. The Forum I was. Run. Yeah, me too.
I felt your presence throughout.
Thank you.
And I just, I mean, let's just talk through our reactions, Pete.
Well, for the Monday show, I got the like VIP package where I get to go into the pit, the Sound Factory pit. That's the pit where she throws the water on everybody. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I analyzed that concert. I'm like, I've got to catch. She throws this like plastic beer bottle into the audience with, and then like on the beer bottle, there's like a fake beer label that has the Celebration Tour name on it. So I was like, I have to catch that bottle.
Of course.
But at the same time, so I kept asking people, I'm like, should I film it or put the phone down and just try to catch it? And I try to do both. And she threw the bottle right at me and it went right into my hands and bounced right out. And so I dove to the floor to get it. And I'm just about to grab it. And some mean queen snatched it from me. And he clearly could see it was meant for me.
Obviously.
I mean, obviously she was aiming for you.
No, she looked right into my eyes.
God.
Well, whoever that queen is, if he's listening, let's return this bottle to its rightful owner. Thank you.
Thank you.
He agrees.
Our DMs will be open. No questions will be asked. Just return it. That's all.
I mean, because even other people in the pit were like, did you catch it? Did you catch it? Because they knew it was meant for me. And then I saw somebody else filming and I saw another angle and it like just bounced right out of my hand. So who knows? Like maybe if I didn't have the phone, I maybe might not have caught it anyway. I'm not great at catching. I've never been great at catching anything.
Yeah, it's a tough one. It's a slippery item. But let's talk about the concert as a whole.
Oh, yes.
Because I was like absolutely blown away. I knew I would enjoy myself.
Same.
Straight up. Like, what night did you go?
I went Monday and Tuesday.
You went Monday and Tuesday, Matt McConkie, what night?
I saw her in Brooklyn, which I think was maybe the first night of the tour. This was the one that she was very late to. People sued her for it. But, you know, same show. She, first of all, looks incredible. I feel such vindication after so much noise about whatever work she had done, which I got no problem with. My only criticism is that she went out in public too soon. She didn't, things hadn't settled. And now they've settled real, real nice.
Yeah, she looked great.
I do too. Nice, and it just her. She's never looked this good in years.
Incredible. Now, Pete, do you have any theories behind her going out, perhaps before the face settled?
I think because that she has like that. What's his name? Ricardo. He does like her social media, and he really like photoshops her face for her Instagrams. I think overly. Like they don't need to be that overly done. And maybe she like didn't even know what she looked like.
It's
maybe
possible.
The mirrors are all covered up in the house and she only looks at herself when it's photoshopped.
You're right, because if you look at her on Instagram, like in person, she does look better. They don't need to do all that.
No, they don't. They overdo. They make her look like something from Roger Rabbit.
Very true.
Yeah.
So the Celebration Tour is her first sort of greatest hits retrospective tour.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How again did I've actually now forgotten what she opened with.
When I was very young.
Yes.
Nothing really mattered to me.
Nothing really matters, of course. Yes, of course. Yes,
for making myself happy.
Okay.
Oh, I was hoping you'd continue. Really,
yeah.
I was the only one. Now that I am alone, strong, everything's changed. I'll never be the same because of you.
Fucking fantastic.
It's gorgeous.
And then from there, do we go to CBGB?
Well, no, then we go to Dance the Teary on the Rooftop for everybody.
That's correct. That's correct. Okay.
What a great era.
Perfect. Yes. So then we're back in the early days. We're in the East Village, kind of.
Yeah. And then we go into the groove, and then we go into CBGB's for Burning Up. And then after that's because she's punk. She she spits and she throws water and she throws the bottle. And then she goes to the strip where she's like the peep show for Open Your Heart.
Now, do you buy that she went actually to CBGB with a guitar and played Burning Up?
Well, I remember back in those early interviews in the 80s, she would say, I performed at the Mud Club and CBGBs, but she never really performed guitar. She was a drummer in her early club, in her early band, The Breakfast Club. And then she ended up becoming the lead singer. So I don't know if that, she loves to like rewrite her story.
Sure. And it's her right. She can do that.
Yeah. And also like nobody knows about history anymore anyway. So you can make up anything.
It's true. There's no shared perspective. There's no shared history.
No, but I know.
It's all gone.
But I know.
You know. That's right.
You know.
Thank you.
So yeah, act one, we're in New York City. She's young. There's a long story about somebody teaching her to play guitar and she gives that person a blowjob.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Which
I don't think we got that story.
Madonna loves to, she loves to like try to be funny. She loves comics. She wants to be a comic, and she's like really bad at it.
Madonna did say at the beginning, here's punk rock Madonna, here's East Village Madonna. Mm-hmm. We'll be seeing her throughout the show. Mm-hmm. And I kind of don't really remember seeing that character come back.
That's right. Well, then she comes back like dressed in latex with the cornrows, the Human Nature Madonna, to like save her from the police. Remember when the Vogue ball was being raided?
Right.
And then she's also on the bed for the when Blondie and Bishop Madonna's masturbating. Well, I guess it's not masturbating. Well, it is because it's younger Madonna touching older Madonna. Oh, Madonna.
There's so much.
There's so much.
So talk me through the feeling in the pit as Act One, the celebration, transforms into Live to Tell.
Oh, well, I love the Live to Tell part. And she's flying right over our heads.
Yeah.
Sure.
And she sounds amazing. That's one of the ones I think she is singing live.
Yeah. And I also love that, like, when that song first starts, I love to hear the audience, like, start to, like, you know, applaud and roar when they, like, hear the beginning of Live to Tell. And I also love that she uses all of the original versions of the songs, because before that, past tours, she always would, like, change up the songs. And I like how we just hear the original version.
Yeah.
I don't need to hear, like, a, you know, Middle Eastern, Like a Virgin, or, like, you know, we've heard all that. It's time to get back to basics.
Yeah. Agreed.
Agreed. Live to Tell, Like a Prayer, both done beautifully. I've gone to setlist.fm, by the way. It's just like go track by track through.
Very helpful.
Night one at the forum.
Well, because this is her story. Because after the AIDS epidemic, that's the AIDS tribute. Then it's like, you know, the religious part, like, you know, like a prayer, the meditation of it all, the prayer of it all, the like a prayer of it all over what's just happened in the AIDS section.
What was the controversy in the Live to Tell number where she put a photo of someone up who
Luther Vandross.
Oh, Luther Vandross. So did Luther Vandross, we don't know how he died. Is he dead?
I thought he had a stroke. He's definitely dead.
He's missing with Kate Middleton.
He had a stroke and he lingered for a long time and eventually died of complications from that stroke. So I think she suggested that it was HIV AIDS.
But that was strange. Somebody must have told her that. And then, or maybe, I don't know why, like, who knows why she did that. But then the estate made her take it down. I used to work at this gym in New York City, the Reebok Sports Club, and he used to come in early in the morning. And he would be, this is when he lost a lot of weight. So I saw him working out. And one time he asked me who was on the television. I said, oh, that's Aaliyah. It was the Rosie O'Donnell show. And he wanted me to stand on a chair to turn up the volume. So I did. And then Luther goes, who is that? I said, Aaliyah. He's like, it looks like another Janet Jackson wannabe to me.
Ooh. Wow,
Luther. But then he ended up gaining weight again, and probably the fluctuation, that's not good, probably gave him a stroke. It's so strange that all of a sudden, like, I have a feeling somebody was like, you should put Luther Vandross up there, he died of AIDS.
She's like, all right,
okay,
cool. Yeah,
it was so weird.
It's weird. It's an odd one.
I think they should put, I would love if there were like other celebrities that weren't even dead that were up there, like Ryan Seacrest, just like random people that were like just constant mistakes.
Yeah. Like you see at the end of like any story that you read on the internet, there'll be like a link to like, you won't believe they're dead. And it's a picture of Julia Stiles. And it's like, but she isn't dead.
Yeah.
Why are you doing this? I definitely
don't believe that.
I don't believe that.
Or like, you know, these stars look so much like their famous fathers. And it's a picture of Jeremy Allen White and Gene Wilder. And that they are not father and son.
No.
What's happening? Why is the internet so...
That's why history doesn't matter. You could just say anything. Like, that's why Madonna's played guitar at CBGBs. She can just make up anything. We all do. Everything's a lie.
Should do an in memoriam of just living people that have not respected her.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It'd be like Courtney Love, Sandra Bernhardt, Dennis Rodman, people that she's, you know, have done her wrong.
So what do you reckon happened between Madonna and Sandra Bernhardt? How did that go off the rails?
The rumor always was that you know, Sandra was dating Madonna's BFF, Ingrid Caceres, the Miami club owner, and Madonna, like, Sandra took Ingrid to Madonna's birthday party, and then those Madonna's Ingrid became friends, and then Ingrid, you know, was kind of a little bit of a social climber and latched onto Madonna because they both like to jog, and Sandra got dumped, and Madonna just stopped hanging out with Sandra. Sandra was mad at Madonna because Madonna had Rosie as her friend and Ingrid. And Ingrid was like her little like lap dog, just followed her all over. Maybe ate her cooch.
Okay.
Maybe.
Allegedly.
Maybe.
What about Nikki and the other backup singer?
Donna.
Yeah, are they, is there bad blood there?
I think that Nikki left the tours first. Like Donna kept going for a couple more tours. But Nikki left because when Madonna was doing Drowned World after the like break from Girly Show to Drowned World, she was now married to Guy Ritchie and had kids. So she was like, the dancers and the backup singers were being put on buses. And they were used to flying with Madonna. And Madonna now was flying with her family. And they were just like, ugh, you know, like, this isn't how it used to be. We can't get a hold, like. And then Nikki left the tour and then, like, would show up in different interviews and kind of, like, talk about Madonna. And so I don't think that, you know, Madonna does not like when you talk about her unless she tells you to talk about her.
The algorithm served me some Nikki and Donna videos where they were doing a live show. They were doing live shows, I think, at the Catalina Club, a smaller, decidedly smaller venue in LA than the Forum. And that I think was like the same dates. So I thought
she did. They both did shows in New York when Madonna was doing shows in New York, because they know that the fans will go see them because they do some Madonna. They do like Rain and Liza Bonita and Nothing Really Matters. And then they did some here when Madonna was here. And they went to her show in New York at Madison Square Garden. But the fans want Nikki and Donna to go on stage like for the Vogue judging.
Yeah.
Or to sing a duet. But I don't think that's going to happen.
Get him up there. Okay. Who did that at your shows? Did she bring up?
She brought up
Eric Andre
who pulled his pants down. Mm-hmm. And the girl from TikTok, what's her name? The second night.
Girl from TikTok.
Madonna did the TikTok with her. I don't know why I want to. What's her name? I forget. Ugh. She kind of trolls people. She's like it's really a drag. It's really a man in drag, but I forget her name.
No, I don't know. You know what? Setlist will give us the intel.
Were you at the Kylie Minogue show either?
No, I wish. But you know, like once I started posting videos of me like in the pit and where I was, and you know, other people I know were copying me. And like a lot of the times they were sitting where I was sitting. And a lot of the fans, a lot of the Madonna fans are like, well, how many concerts did you go to? Well, I've gone to 7. And you know, like there's sometimes competition with that.
Yeah.
So then I have people messaging me being like, oh, you should have been there. It was everything. First of all, I was there. I wasn't at Kylie Minogue. But I didn't go see a Madonna show for Kylie Minogue. Let's get that straight. I was happy with what I got. Okay, Madonna threw a bottle at me. Madonna saying, don't tell me, and looked into my eyes. And I smiled at her. And I smiled at Madonna, and she didn't smile back at me. She just nodded her head. And it felt like she was looking into my soul, and she knew all my secrets. Okay, I don't need to see Kylie Minogue.
You go to Kylie for a Kylie. You go to a Kylie show for Kylie. You go to a Madonna show to get a bottle thrown at you. And to get kind of a little bit scowled at.
That's right. And so I don't need to have you Madonna fans. If you're listening out there, I know you stole my bottle and you're trying to make me feel bad that I didn't go to Kylie Minogue. Well, I don't. I also got a hotel in Inglewood because I went 2 nights in a row. So I stayed.
You go to a hotel. Oh, you stay at a hotel.
There's no going back.
I stayed in. I was like, listen, why go all the way to Inglewood and go back to Hollywood and go back to Inglewood and go back to Hollywood? So I stayed in some really weird hotel that was like, I don't know what that place was. It was like Swedish, and it was like a motel, but if the Ace Hotel was made into a motel, it was kind of strange. And there was like a lot of construction, but whatever. I did it for Madonna, not for Kylie.
Now, were there other Madonna fans at this hotel motel?
They were.
Okay, was there partying late into the night?
No, I didn't hear any partying or anything.
Okay, you want to be fresh. You want to be fresh for sure.
I had a second night.
Yeah, you got a whole second.
Yeah, I had a whole second night.
So just to back up, Act 3, Erotica, Justify My Love. I did not know I needed to hear Erotica, but I did.
Erotica is one of my
favorite. One of the best parts.
Yeah, I agree. That was one of my favorite parts of the show because I love the choreography in that number. And the dancers are so hot, honey. And that's what's great about being in the pit is I like to flirt with the dancers. I blow them kisses. I wink at them.
Mm-hmm. And did you get smiles?
Oh yeah, one of them like grabbed the kiss I threw at him.
Ah, wow.
I'm in love with the dancers. And I follow them on Instagram, so I know which hotels they stay at, like, and every time. Like, so I knew what hotels they were at in Pittsburgh, and I knew what hotels they were in Los Angeles. I mean, I don't go there, but, like, I just like to know.
It's enough to know.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. You know, I like to track where they're all, like, what hotel Madonna's at. And I'm not a fanatic, okay? And I'm not.
What hotel was Madonna at in L.A.?
I didn't know where she was here. I think she has, like, a little place here. Like, I don't think she has like a big mansion. I just think she has a little place that she can stay here, because I saw her like getting dressed in her bathroom, and there's like pictures of like the children on the wall. So I'm like, oh, she has like a little place here. Or maybe she travels with pictures.
She might. I can imagine like them completely arranging a room with the Hotel Bel Air.
Oh, yeah.
Like make it look homey for her.
Well, I know that she used to travel with a Frida Kahlo painting.
Great. That's our mom.
That's our girl.
Any other favorite moments from the show?
I love the erotica number. I also love the number. Yep. I love Hung Up, where she, like, the girls are dancing around her, and they like they take their shirts off. Also, Madonna dropped her microphone right in front of me, and like I heard boom. So it's definitely turned on.
Yeah, I heard that. Boom.
It is working.
Yeah, it's working.
I heard that boom on the Monday show.
Yeah.
Mercy playing Bad Girl on the piano. Oh, that was a beautiful
moment.
She's
very talented. And I also love Don't Tell Me, whether, you know, like she does the choreography from the original video. And that's where all the dancers are like sitting right on the edge. And that's where I'm like blowing them kisses and waving to them. Mm-hmm. And that's where Madonna looked into my soul.
Yup.
And I smiled at her and she didn't care.
So Vogue has kind of a ballroom presentation
Vogue
moment.
Oh, yeah.
What were your thoughts?
Oh, I love that Vogue moment, because honey, like, she like sits on that chair and then the dancers just work it, and then the male dancers, like, some of them take off their pants. It's so sensual, sexual, fun. It's just fun.
It's sensual, sexual, fun. But then also her daughter Esther.
Oh yeah, comes out and just does it.
Brushes, and she's like 12.
Yeah, it must be like 12, yeah.
Yeah, that was a surprise. That was something I didn't understand until much later. I did some research on that later. I was surprised.
Every show, I mean, this tour has been so long, honey. She's been taking those kids with her.
Yeah.
I mean, and she must have told them, like, listen, we're doing a tour. And there's no time to get tired. There's no time to complain. You want to do it or don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, mommy.
And one of her sons plays guitar.
Yeah, David. He's throughout the show. He does like the Prince section, because Prince played guitar in the Like a Prayer album. And so there's like that Prince part where he's wearing that Prince sort of chain mask hat.
Yeah.
And he's like playing the guitar. Then he plays guitar like in two other songs and walks the Vogue ball. So she's got all the kids on tour with her.
Mm-hmm.
Not the biologicals.
Yeah.
They're too old.
Although I heard Lourdes sat in a few times at the beginning. Lourdes in the Vogue ball.
Yeah, she sat in the Vogue ball at the beginning. But Rocco never did.
Rocco wants no part of it.
No.
So we get snippets of Human Nature, of Crazy for You.
Oh, yeah.
Then she likes Full Die Another Day, which I would not have predicted in a million years.
Oh, never. I like Die Another Day because, honey, that's where we go into laser shows. It's a whole laser show.
Right.
And that's what's great about sitting further away. Like, I, for the second night, I sat further away. Like, I wasn't in the pit the second night. So I got like a whole different perspective. I got to see things I didn't see before. Like the real laser shows, and the videos better. And actually it sounded like I heard sounds and things I didn't hear in the pit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was way up in very last, like, highest up section. I was in the 200s, which at the Forum is great.
Oh, yeah. There's no bad seat at the Forum.
There's no bad seat. Mm-mm. Even way in the back. It's an intimate venue.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was an acoustic Express Yourself, which was a curveball.
Yeah. Well, you know, originally even wasn't even in the show. Originally, she was doing I Will Survive. That's what I saw. Yeah. I prefer to have the acoustic, like, Express Yourself.
Okay. It was a surprise. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. I mean, I was surprised that she didn't even have it in the show at some point. Like, that's a huge song of hers. Like, I'm surprised that she didn't even include it, like, as a regular portion of the show. But I'm glad she sort of added it in. At least, I mean, even though it's acoustic, at least it was sort of added in.
It was there. Yeah. I was a little surprised there was no Material Girl.
I was surprised there was no Material Girl, and I was surprised that there was no, I guess, probably Material Girl is my biggest surprise. Maybe also like Lucky Star or Borderline.
Lucky Star. Yeah. Borderline.
But I guess you can only do so many songs.
No Rain.
No, she did do Rain and at the earlier shows. And then
we did see a Rain.
Yes, I saw a Rain in Pittsburgh, but then she brought back, then she brought in Take a Bow, which I, Take a Bow is one of my favorite Madonna songs, and I've never seen her perform it live. So that was like the best thing.
Absolute. That was a sigh.
And I have a theory about, well, I'll let you, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go.
Well, no, because I have a theory about the show. Like when she does Take a Bow and she does, like disappears with that cloak over her and she goes under the stage. And then it's the Michael Jackson Madonna mashup.
Okay, what the fuck was that?
I think she's going into heaven.
We gotta get into it.
I think she's going into heaven to visit Michael.
And then she comes back,
because this is her life story. And then she comes back at the end as like that sort of wearing that sort of nun's habit, almost saintly. Like now she's sort of untouchable, saintly Madonna, and she does Bitch on Madonna. And like this is like, you know, bye. But
yeah,
I jumped ahead because, you know, she also did Bedtime Stories and Ray of Light.
Bedtime Story, another one that I was like, I never need to hear that song again. Loved it. I leapt to my feet.
Sometimes I was thinking before I saw, like, I really like before it really sunk in, I was like, what does this have to do with her life? Like this section of the show, because it's supposed to be her life story. And I'm like, is this the part where she was like in a coma from the being sick this summer? So maybe that's Let's Get Unconscious.
Oh, okay.
And then like Quicker Than a Ray of Light, it's like her life has been gone so quicker than a ray of light. Then it's Take a Bow. Bye. And then she goes into heaven and see Michael and she comes back and she's a saint. That's my interpretation.
Okay.
That's my interpretation.
I like that. I like that.
That does make a lot of sense. I mean, the Michael Jackson part was baffling. Like, I don't think she doesn't seem like someone who's really got her finger on the pulse, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it was just, it's such strange timing and it took up like a surprising amount of time. Like,
yeah, it's a long
book. Yeah, in my mind, like Madonna and Michael Jackson as going to the Academy Awards together or whatever is a blip, you know? But it was as if this was the great love of her life and we have to pay a 20-minute tribute.
Madonna always admired Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson, when she was a child, the only fan letter she ever wrote was to, like, you know, Michael Jackson and the Jackson 5. And then she also got Michael Jackson's manager when she like did like a Virgin. So she always like loved Michael Jackson. But I don't know, I think she's trying to portray herself as like them, like, you know, both of them as like the king and queen of pop, like of that 80s. Like they're both young in that section. Like
right.
It's Like a Virgin, it's Billie Jean. So it's like, you know, like this is us at our sort of youngest prime moment, like the moment we both sort of like we're at the height of our like powers.
Do you think that she is a, you know, MJ truther? Like she doesn't
believe the allegations?
Yeah.
I don't think she does, because I think one time in an interview she's like, we don't, you know, like what is their motivation? Usually it's money. And I think if she believed it, she wouldn't have had it in the show.
True. Mm-hmm. Well, I thought maybe she doesn't know. Maybe she hasn't heard, you know?
Well, that's, honey, that could also be possible too.
Now, here's my less charitable interpretation of that. And the Prince moment and like David Bowie kind of hanging out on the screen for longer than anybody else at the end of the AIDS thing, which he didn't die of AIDS. My feeling is that she is suggesting, like, I am still here. Like, I outlasted all of these legends.
Unlike all of these people, right?
Oh, yeah.
These are like unquestionably the greatest legends of the 20th century. And I'm the only one still standing.
And she's right. If that's what she's saying. Yeah.
There's a lot of sort of like life and there's a lot of like death. Life and death in that show. Like there's her mother, a picture of her mother. I think that's a big part of her story, you know, like the AIDS epidemic, her mother dying, like there's a lot of there's a lot of that in the show. For like, I also like for something called Celebration, there's like a lot of like just a lot of dark sort of sad things in the show. And also like even her speeches were sometimes like, you know, I almost died, and you know, like it, sometimes she's very like dark. Not that that's a bad thing, but like there's she seems to have a very, maybe she's kind of maybe serious but wants to be funny. I don't know.
The aesthetic of the tour, like the not her as much as like the artwork and the merch, is, I mean, like I was looking at all of the like the t-shirts, you know, buying the merch is just a whole event. And then that giant scrim that's hanging before she comes out with the picture of her, everything is very sort of witchy and pointy. It's all just sort of like normal Madonna, but just like stretched out in a weird kind of like Rumpelstiltskin.
Yeah, I don't like that. I saw something on the internet about that, where it's supposed to sort of represent that Salvador Dali painting about like time. You know, so everything sort of melted and twisted. You know that one I'm talking about with the clock?
Not my favorite.
Because this is not my favorite either. And so it's about like, also there's all these amazing pictures of her with by amazing photographers. Just have that. Like, we don't need that stretched, weird, like this. Because I got this tote bag in the
her feet look like witchy elven pointed like hooves or something.
I blame that her social media guy Ricardo.
He does. Yeah, tell me about this Ricardo. I don't know anything about Ricardo.
He's her social media guy. He hangs down also like down by the by the stage, and he'll take like photos on the phone by her, and like, and he, I follow him on Instagram too. What she doesn't realize is when I was in Pittsburgh, I found out what hotel she was staying at because of Ricardo, because he posted on Instagram stories Pittsburgh and like tagged like the location, and it gave me exactly where they were at, like, so I knew exactly what hotel they were at.
Rookie social media mistake.
Yes, but he's,
you can't do that.
He makes her like, I have a feeling like he gives her like, you know, some weird creative ideas, and you know, I know he takes pictures sometimes, and I'm just like, they're not my favorite. They just look too overly like photoshopped.
Yeah.
He probably did Kate Middleton's photo.
Okay. All right.
Well, there's the transition.
There's our transition.
Can we, before we even get into it, Pete, just is the word primer, Dave?
I
want to say primer, but the real word is primer.
It's probably meant to be primer, but primer is now acceptable.
The Cliff's Notes of just like where we are right now in the Kate Middleton story.
A mess.
Yeah.
For anybody who hasn't been following, talk us through the big beats of it.
Well, okay. So in December was the last time Kate Middleton and her children were seen in public. So then in January 15th around there, they said that she's going in for abdominal surgery at a private hospital in London, and she's going to be out of commission from the public eye from her royal duties until after Easter. And then of course they said Prince Charles has cancer. And then ever since then, everyone's like, where is Kate Middleton? Where is she? Why can't we see her? And there's all this speculation about where is she? So then they finally, last week, showed a picture of her sitting in a car with her mother, like far away. But then the British press wouldn't publish the picture because they said it was invasion of privacy of paparazzi. So then they finally released another picture that was coming officially from Kensington Palace this past Sunday. On their Mother's Day, which I don't know why they have Mother's Day on a completely different day, on Oscar Day. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I saw the picture, I was like, this isn't her. I mean, this isn't current. She looked too, this does not look like somebody that had surgery. It looked like her head was also way bigger than the rest of the body. So then it came to find out when they gave the picture to all the outlets like Reuters and AP, they were all like, no, honey, no, girl, this picture's falsified. It's been doctored. We're killing it. And now everyone's wondering, what's wrong with Kate Middleton? Why can't we just see a picture of her?
And the doctoring specifically wasn't this wasn't just a case of like, I wanted to make my skin look better. This was like weird hand placement. The kids' clothes are all like fucked up.
The kids' clothes have been colorized. Her hands are missing. One of them is missing her wedding ring. It's like her arm span would be too long to wrap
Michael
her hand around three children.
Yeah.
And so everyone's like, why can't we just see a picture of her? What is going on? So there's so much speculation, even before the picture came out. That's why they released the picture. There's conspiracy theories of like, you know, did she get plastic surgery? Did she, you know, is she running away from the royal family because her and William aren't getting along? Is she growing out her bangs? Did she get a BBL? And then there's one story of her that she has Crohn's disease and she has a colostomy bag. And then the Inquirer said, in this week's National Inquirer, said that she went into the hospital for an eating disorder because she was having organ problems. And then they found ovarian cancer. So there's so much speculation. And I mean, like, I just hope she's okay because I love Kate Middleton. She's the only one I like in that family.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, let's pause there. So you are not Team Meghan.
Oh, I mean, I think everyone's crazy. Let's get that straight. But of everybody, I like Kate Middleton the best because I like the way she wears a coat dress. I love a coat dress. And, you know, like, I just think that she just does it right. She walks in and she shakes hands. She just has like a royal, carries herself like a royal. I never cared for Meghan. Like when she talked in that Netflix documentary, you know, I was wearing jeans, ripped jeans and shoes, and I went up to Kate Middleton and I gave her a hug because I'm a hugger. First of all, I don't trust anybody that says I'm a hugger. And also put on some shoes. I like Kate Middleton. I don't like Prince William. I don't hate Kate. I don't hate Meghan and Harry. I understand why they want to get away from that family. But poor Kate Middleton, honey. But also then they were blaming all the British news reports were blaming. They're blaming Meghan and Harry for Charles being sick and Kate being sick, saying that all of the stuff that they've said about the royal family has made them stressed out and made them sick.
Stress has gone right to their organs.
I think the royal family is quietly quitting. Once the queen died, they're all like, oh, okay, now that she's gone, you know, Kate Middleton's like, I need a break.
Yeah.
Charles is probably like, oh, I need a break. I just saw in the news this week, Camilla Parker Bowles is taking a break. Honey, they're all like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't want them.
It's too many events. It's too many events.
Like, we've lost interest and they've lost interest.
Yeah. We've all lost interest.
All lost interest. Also, so a message that was supposed to have been from Kate was posted to Twitter saying like, hey, I'm an amateur, you know, I love my Photoshop and I was playing around a little too much. It's on me. There's no way that she wrote that.
No, there's
exactly,
no way she wrote
because
that.
If you are an amateur Photoshopper, your goal is to simply make yourself look better. Like you're going to just like lighten up spots in the skin and whatever. But she would not have gone to have done that, this sort of weird alien makeover that someone gave her in a photo.
She didn't do that. You can be an amateur photographer and not be a Photoshopper. I mean, that doesn't mean that it's like it's not the same thing. But also, Mike, I think like clearly there's something wrong with her, like visually, physically, because otherwise they would just put her like on a Instagram Live or a Zoom and be like, "Hi, everybody." So clearly there's something askew. Like maybe she lost a little bit because she was always very, very thin. Maybe she looks even more like unhealthy thin from whatever was going on with her medically. I also think why haven't we seen the children? I think there's that and something's going on with William. I mean, with William and Kate, like, and I think she's left him and took the children. And because he was seen not wearing his wedding ring either. So I think there's something, and it's bad timing with Charles because clearly he's going to be out of commission.
Where is everybody? And what are the conspiracy theories around William and the, I don't know how you say any of it, the mayor, you know, who I'm, that other woman?
Emily is her name? Murphy's
Town.
Apparently that's, Kate Middleton's friend, and William's been having an affair with her.
And maybe she has had his baby out of wedlock?
Oh, I didn't hear that.
I didn't hear that either.
I don't know. I think that's another. I mean, I've barely been paying attention to this, and here I am just throwing around.
Everything's true.
Luther Vandross is involved somehow. You heard.
William is having an affair with Luther Vandross.
So, I mean, Pete Zayas, I must ask, where is she? What are your thoughts? What are your personal theories? What are your pet theories?
Where is she? Well, then I saw that there was like on December 28th, when everybody was at the Sangreum for the Christmas holiday, an ambulance left there and went to the hospital. But then she had her hands bandaged in November. And she said that she was a trampoline accident, which maybe could be true because that's a weird explanation.
Yeah.
Trampoline.
It's literally the first time I've ever heard that.
But then people were saying that maybe because if she has an eating disorder, it was like her knuckles were scraped up from her teeth. I think it's a combination of a medical issue and she's marital problems with Prince William. And I think that she was photographed with her mother in the car. She took the kids and went with the mother. I don't think she's with Prince William. I think she's with her mother somewhere in one of their homes. And there's marital problems. And it's just this bad timing. And there's something physically wrong with her. I think she's probably really, really thin. The National Enquirer says she's learning how to eat. They're trying to get weight on her because of her eating disorders. And they don't want to be photographed right now because she looks too gaunt. Because if she looked normal, they would just take a picture of her. You know, like just release a video. But they're clearly hiding the way she looks.
It does seem like, you know, there was whispering about it like a couple of weeks ago. And every move, every official move that the royal family has made has been the exact wrong one.
Yeah, they're doing everything wrong.
Yeah.
It's almost like they want to do one thing and she wants to do something else. Like they're like they're trying to deal with how to handle her not wanting to be to like make a comment or say anything, and everyone's appetite and the media's appetite of like, where is she? Where is she? Where is she? And also then William dropped out of that event at the last minute for personal reasons. I mean, there's a lot of mysterious behavior happening.
There's a lot. We have to ask how Ricardo would handle this situation.
He would just Photoshop. So I guess he would have, I guess he did handle this.
Maybe he did.
Maybe he did that bad tweet response from Kate.
I think Madonna's social media guy, Ricardo, is behind a lot of this. So he has to be blamed. And for the Luther Vandross thing.
All of it.
Oh my God, Pete Zayas. Listen, honestly, it's just, there have just been so many moments in the last week that I was like, we literally need.
We had to speak to
the
you.
Official word from Pete Zayas that no one else will do.
Pete, I just have to say, since last time you were on the show, I got to share the stage with you at Drew Drogi's reading of Messy White Gays in LA because I Tanya Harding'd Brian Safi and took his role for the night. And Pete, in this show, there are no words to describe how fucking funny he is. Like that, you know, I have been guilty so many times of just like laughing on stage, like sort of that obnoxious Jimmy Fallon thing. And it's so gross, but this, I could not help myself. Pete's character gets increasingly coked up over the course of the show. He comes in and does this 5-minute coked up monologue that was like, I was crying, shaking, just so unprofessional and obnoxious, but I couldn't help myself. And so anyway, I say all this because you're doing it again in New York. When?
We're doing it April 7th, 8th, and 9th at Soho Playhouse. And you can get tickets at messywhitegaze.com. You can also go to my Instagram, Pete Zayas, because I have a link to the website. And two shows on Monday. And yeah, we're going to do a reading in New York City. And Matt, you were great. I mean, you're a very skilled actor.
Oh, you're very kind.
You were really great in that part.
Well, I think now Matt Wilkes is the one that I have to
Tanya Harding
in order to, yeah. Well, and before we go, a couple other announcements. First of all, most importantly, we should have led with this. We're recording this on Wednesday. Tomorrow, Thursday, is Dave Holmes' birthday. And so we'll be releasing this the day after Dave's birthday. So happy, happy birthday, Dave.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. However, on the 17th.
Oh, yes. And on the 17th in Los Angeles, actually, whether you're here or not, at Dynasty Typewriter, I'll be in Roadhouse the Musical. It's so much fun. Tom Lenk and Tabby Hobson, who have both been on the podcast, and a bunch of other hilarious people. We're also performing with Baby Wants Candy, which is amazing improv group. It's going to be such a fun night. You can get tickets if you're going to be in town at dynastytypewriter.com. You can also get live stream tickets if you're not in town. You want to watch it that way. And also on the 16th, this Saturday, if you're in LA, our own Justin Mattson, who's our audio engineer, is also a hilarious comedian. He is hosting a queer stand-up show called, are you ready for this? Jokeback Mountain.
Come on.
My favorite name for a comedy show of all time. And he has an amazing lineup, and you can get tickets and find info on that at fanimal.com. So we hope to see you at all these events and many more.
Yes. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everyone. Happy St. Patrick's Day, Pete Zayas.
Oh, happy, is today St. Patrick's? Oh, wait, when this comes out, it will
be. No, it'll be this coming
Sunday.
It'll be
this
week. Oh, that's right, this Sunday. Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's trouble. That's big trouble. thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much, Pete, for having me back.
Happy honestly, birthday, Kate, Dave.
Thank you so much. Kate, if you're listening, I mean, do we have any messages?
Reach out. You know, reach out and.
Kate Middleton. Sorry, I thought I thought somebody was behind the scenes was named Kate. Kate, are you out there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kate Middleton, we have heard is a listener. So Luther Vandross told us that. Do you have any messages of support?
Hey, we love you, honey. I need to see you again in a coat dress before the weather gets hot. Okay, so come back. We're here for you. When I was very young, nothing really mattered to Kate except hiding from public view. She was photoshopped. She didn't do it. Now that she is grown, everything's changed. Photoshop, nothing doesn't really matter. Kate Middleton is here. She is queer. Put your hands in the air. Express yourself. Thank you.
Perfect.
Thank you, Pete. Mm.
Oh, I'm so happy to sing.
And that is our show. Please do give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and follow us on Instagram at HomophiliaPod. Homophilia is a World of Wonder production, music by Ben Wise. Our executive producer is Renee Colvert. Our associate producer is Jess Walensky, and our audio engineer is Justin Mattson. Many thanks to Michael Pressman and everyone at World of Wonder.